You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, welcome to the Berkeley Local Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, owner-operator of Motor City Brew Tours, Berkeley resident, Berkeley Chamber member, and the dude that's going to take you through the next hour of Berkeley Local Podcast. Pete just adjusted his seat. He's making me laugh here. So Berkeley Local, it's a podcast about businesses in the Berkeley area. And today we got two great businesses, basically two neighbors. And they should become better friends on this because one is going to be going to the other one's place like all the time, right? So I'm going to have him introduce himself, and then I'm going to have his new friend introduce himself. And we're going to roll from there on this episode of the Berkeley Local Podcast.
I'm Timothy Barnes with Gatekeeper Games. We've been in Berkeley about coming up on 5 years, and we took over the old Dahl Hospital, which I'm sure everybody who's ever lived in Berkeley in the last 80 years is aware of, but that's now Gatekeeper Games.
My name's Pete Rodriguez. I'm one of the owners of Green Lantern Berkeley. We've been open for 5 weeks right now.
Big 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Made it. In a row.
5 weeks at that location. So this is our 7th location, but we've been in business for over 65 years.
And 1955.
There we go. We did take over the a previous Sela's restaurant. So we're excited to bring our brand to Berkeley and, you know, taking over a landmark restaurant like Sela's. So
basically, we got games and pizza today. And I just did a beer show before we started taping Berkeley Local. So I'd say this is a pretty good day.
That's all the major food groups.
I pretty much accomplished everything I needed to today. Right. So, Tim, so tell me about what got you involved in having a game store and kind of describe me your business model a bit. I think the first time I met you, I probably asked you that same question, like, so what do you do? So that's like my question here. So what do you do and what got you involved in it originally?
Well, what got me involved originally was I was one of the guys from Stranger Things. It was, you know, 1970, whatever. And we were playing Dungeons and Dragons in my
mom's. Is that why you got blue hair?
That's why I got blue hair. No, I got blue hair because that's my midlife crisis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't afford a sports car, so I just.
Oh, I got that hair. Question down here later. So I'm sorry. Continue.
gaming and particularly, I mean, in Michigan, gaming's really big. You go to bars, they're playing euchre. You go to people's houses, they're playing poker. I mean, the whole concept of gaming has been big. What we do specifically at the store is we've got over half the area of what was the old Dahl Hospital, which is not an insignificant amount of space, where people come in, they play games. We've got tournaments. We have our regular nightly events. We do all sorts of just training. We've got guys from game companies that come in and demo games.
So training people to play the game, you're saying?
Yeah, teaching them how to play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's important.
Yeah, training makes it sound a lot more.
I know it does, right?
Than
like they got uniforms and they came in at designated times.
No, it's just teaching people how to play. That's a significant portion. So
and tournaments and bigger companies might be coming through to do that at times. Is that?
Well, coming up, we have regionals for some of the larger tabletop things for some of the more popular games. So we'll be doing. Kind of my best would be to say official tournaments where people will be trying to earn points to go on to larger events and things like that. If it's organized like any game, soccer, football, baseball for your kids, whatever.
You have to get enough points to move on to the next level.
You have to get enough points to move on to the next level, poker tournament, stuff like that. We'll be starting this year hosting official things along those lines. In the meantime, though, what we do is just like local tournaments. You put in $5 and, winner takes some, first, second, third place, that kind of thing. We do get some support and prize support from the companies. We also just do friendly open night gaming events. Around Halloween, we do zombie-themed events, stuff like that, where people just come in and play, a little less formal than any kind of tournament or anything along those lines. We're coming up on getting a beer and wine license. There's a bar there.
This is when you and I became friends a little
bit. This is when we became, actually, our friendship won't really begin till we get it and you can come there.
I know. I can't wait. My hope would be that we do some events together out of your space once happens.
But
that
we've
would be
talked
beautiful.
About that. We're hosting a lot of other things besides just, hey, come in and play games. We had a Relay for Life event. Was our first big event.
So a charity event.
Charity event. They came in. They played Dungeons & Dragons. We collected a significant amount of money in donations. Some gentlemen were doing it to support an old friend of theirs who had, you know, and that's something these gentlemen do every year. We'll be doing it again this year in June. Christmas, we have Christmas parties. So it's not just the formal tournaments. It's actually just a lot of events where just the locals can come in and play games.
How fun and unique. So, Pete, speaking of pizza.
There we go.
You need that as you're playing games.
Right.
So let's talk a bit about Green Lantern. Besides the fact that you said that you've been around since 1955 and you're one of the co-owners of the Berkeley location.
Correct.
What made the family say we need to start opening more locations? So it was many years and you were really what? Just in Madison Heights, the original location.
Yep.
And then someone woke up one day, next generation got involved. How did that all come about?
Yep. My wife's grandfather and grandmother started the original location back in 1955. Shot in a beer bar. Really, that was the type of establishment it was. And then in the 80s, my father-in-law decided to kind of go with the pizza thing because pizza was taking off. It was tired of the bar fights, the bikers coming in, all the rowdy crowd a little bit, and decided, hey, if we want to survive a little bit, let's go with this pizza thing.
Become a little more casual, family-oriented in that respect.
Yeah, you know, so we kind of started shifting over more from a shot in a beer bar to a restaurant. And then the next generation, my brother-in-law, John, opened up our first carryout delivery location after the original right there in Royal Oak. You mentioned that you've been there before.
Oh, definitely.
That was our second location after, 50 years. And in the last 6-7 years, we've opened up 5 other locations.
So now you got 7 locations.
Yep.
Including this beautiful location in Berkeley.
That we're really excited about.
That you've really just completely remodeled that.
Yeah.
Former Cilius. I always feel like I say it wrong. Cilius?
Everyone says it different, but
I think it's Cilius.
I've only lived in Berkeley like 4.5 years, so I can't say it like I lived here 50 years kind of way of saying it. You know what I'm saying?
I grew up in the area. I used to always call it Cilius when I was growing up.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So that's one of the cool things about, being an owner of the Berkeley location is because I'm from the area. Frequented Cilius growing up, and now to be a part of kind of a little renaissance in that area and bring our brand, it's kind of cool. So
I mean, people were definitely excited for you to open, and just like anything, everything takes longer, right? For both of you, you both agree to that. And a lot of work to get a building going, lots of, just people behind, people from the outside can't always appreciate all the hard work that goes into doing something like that. It's like, you just took over a building and they used to have food. So couldn't you just like clean up the floors and roll on in and start making pizzas? Well, it doesn't really work like that.
Every day I get, what took so long? It's 2 years. What took so long?
Right?
And there was a lot of work to do. You know what I mean? Just like you mentioned. So, from electrical plumbing, I mean, when you're rehabbing a building on that side and then obviously you have to get approval from the city, rework designs that don't work, and you're constantly going back to the drawing board. So, but 2 years later we're here and we're excited about it.
5 weeks in.
Yeah. 5 weeks.
How fun.
Right. Many more to go.
Definitely many more to go.
Right.
Hopefully.
So you're going to have some outdoor seating, correct? Am I right or am I wrong? Am I wrong? Should I not say that?
No.
Well, oh shit. Okay.
Actually the best story.
Oh no.
I think that's, it's planned in the future. We don't have that ability right now. Some things are changing, i.e. the city is putting a municipal parking lot and a block away from us.
Right.
So the story with that is that, we could change everything in the restaurant we wanted, and we were grandfathered in as far as parking code is concerned. As soon as we changed the exterior perimeter of the building, i.e. put a patio in there, we're no longer grandfathered in. We'd adhere to the new parking codes, which were antiquated and outdated. We asked for approval. We didn't get that approval. But one thing we can get around the parking code is if we're within 500 feet of a municipal lot. So the city has bought a house right there within 500 feet of us. They're going to be turning that into a parking lot hopefully shortly. When all those things transpire, we can have a patio. So we're prepared for that. We have a garage door set up where even if we don't have a patio, we plan on doing a little indoor-outdoor, having the windows open, kind of get that fresh air in the restaurant. But once that all happens, we will be building a small patio And we're hoping to use it year-round, have it enclosed. So, yeah.
Very cool. Okay. Yeah, so. I didn't know any of that. I just saw the way those doors opened, and then I just made that assumption.
Yeah.
So, yeesh.
Okay. No, that's it. So
patio would be a great thing.
Yeah, I think so, too. The city wants it, the DDA. And
sure, people want it. People live around there. I'd love to walk over there and do that.
It's more inviting, you know. It creates a better downtown area. People can bike, walk in. It's just more inviting when you see people hanging out outside on a patio and whatnot.
But what you've done to the building now, I don't want to belittle that. What you've done to the building now and its presentation is impressive. It's a bit different than anything else you guys have designed. Am I safe to say it that way?
Yeah, very similar. We use the same design house for our other location at 15 in Utica.
Oh, okay. I've never been to that location.
So it has some similar design elements on the inside, but I definitely think the exterior, we're working with the existing building there a little bit, but I mean it's amazing what some windows do, right?
Well, it's like it opens it up amazingly. So when you see it, you're like, look at all that. Oh yeah, that's right. There was a restaurant there, but you couldn't really see it.
Yeah, you know? We just kind of opened it up.
It's a typical old school Italian place before where it's closed, and that's fine for what it was, but that's not what most people like in a newer establishment today. Yours, it modernizes that.
Yeah, and I think we brought some design elements, hopefully bring the retro in. You know, we are a business that's been around for 65 years, so it's kind of what our deal was when we put that place together. So
Tim, let's talk about your building, the Dow Hospital, the part of the building that you took. Let's talk about kind of some of the, design challenges of taking over a big space or just deciding how much space you should take over as you were looking at the business plan for that, because you could have taken over more, I guess, if you wanted to. Somewhere you said, okay, this is what we're going to go with.
Well, we took over, I'm going to say, probably about 80% of what used to be the Dow Hospital.
Right.
The 2,000 minus or whatever square feet we didn't take, we just couldn't afford. The build-out on that I'm not experienced enough. This is like the only thing along this line I've ever done.
Sure.
But the build out on that was what could only be described as nightmarish.
Okay.
I mean, then
seems like it'd be a scary thing to do first time.
Well, it's just one of those things where, we had come to that point. I had never seen anything so old that was still operational. And we had to do so much in just what we did take, that taking on that little tiny sliver between me and the school would have been, too much.
It would have made your blue hair fall out, probably.
It would have made, you could see up here. It's a little,
I don't know. I got a hat on so that you can't tell that on me. Right. So I'm not going to judge.
Right.
I mean, I had no experience, and it was way more than I thought. Like you were saying earlier, like, oh, it's, a lot more. Then we thought, and everybody kept saying this and that. And I was like, okay, I don't know. It's how I've never done this before. So,
sure.
Okay. And it was the same thing that they had over there where people are, when are you going to open? When are you going to open? So we had to break it up. Like the outside, other than the windows that are now visible, that hasn't changed a lot. That'll have to come, if not this year, then next. Because we focused on the getting the liquor license open.
Sure. Focused on the booze.
Very
professional.
I hope.
Yeah, I do too, right?
So that correct. was our our focus was to get open and get, get everything inside settled. But, they still had wiring that was in cloth.
Yikes. Wow.
Yeah.
Things you wouldn't have thought of.
Right. So it was pretty much a complete rehab. They hadn't put money into it in literally decades.
Sure.
There was one amusing thing that we did discover. One of the contractors called me one day and he's like, you got to come see what we just found in the wall. And I'm like, dude, call the police. I don't want to see it if it's a body. Just what you know. So I went down there and they had two walls, that were about 2.5 feet apart, and it had just been shoved with from the 60s beer bottles.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And so they had to pull all that out. It was actually, I was like, wow, okay then. So that was about the weirdest thing we had.
Any interesting brands in there?
Oh, we saved interesting brands? No.
Okay.
So while they're making little doll dresses and whatnot,
they're kicking back some beers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. I guess I can see your business, right?
That's so we did like an archaeological dig.
Okay.
We went because Budweiser changes its labels every X years.
Yeah.
And they have a record of that, of course.
Sure they do.
So we had to go down to the lower ones and we found – so from the 60s and late 50s, they had been shoving beer down.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was like, great. We're archaeologists. So we saved some of them. But other than that, I mean, they hadn't, you know, there were no real horror stories. It was just, you know, expensive and time consuming and you're opening a new thing. And
but you made it through it. Both of you made it through it. And now you're both running and moving forward. These are good success stories. You've both done ribbon cuttings. You've both got things approved. You'll soon, Tim, have the liquor license part of it approved. And someday you're going to have outdoor seating approved. It's all going to work.
Yeah.
We were so happy to have them move in next door. I mean, like I said earlier, I like their pizza, but just having that. Last Saturday, we had four different orders go in from people in the store.
That's great. Yeah. What a nice
two of
synergy.
Them were just our group, just you know, the group I was hanging out with. You know, it's absolutely great synergy, and I don't think they really believed me as much when we first were talking. I was like, we got some big guys. We're going to eat a lot of your pizza. I'm going to go drink a lot of your beer. So that's good. But yeah, just this last Saturday, four different groups going in. It's really great. Yeah. They're very nice. They let me have a couple pizzas cheap, and we sell some of the slices.
As people are playing games and renting time
Friday,
in there.
Yeah. On Friday night, yeah.
Oh, and, I can see that.
Yeah, and so that gets them introduced to their pizza. You know, so they know to go over there and something to munch
on. Well, I think one of our first really events should be once you get your liquor license and you and I work on a beer tasting event is we should do a pizza beer pairing event with Green Lantern Pizza in your lounge space with your new liquor license.
Oh, absolutely.
And we'll bring in some fun beer. Doesn't that sound like fun?
I love it.
I totally want to do that. So I would dig that. So the beer part and the bar part of what you guys are doing over there, let's talk a little bit about that then. So how many taps? I apologize. Sure. I haven't been in yet.
That's all right.
But I will. And how many taps, like thought process of you know, how you were doing the bar?
Yeah, so we 16 taps is pretty much as many as we can get in there because everybody loves their tap beer, especially the craft beers that we can put on tap. We moved the bar kind of that's what we want everyone to see. You know, we had the windows,
it's front and center.
Front
I mean,
center,
when I pass by, I see it. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, we have the TVs nice. There. We want to, you know, want a kind of a fishbowl aspect of it. So that's why we wanted to move it front and center. You know, we have... I believe 24, 25 seats that kind of sit around as a U. So it's kind of, you know, I've even seen customers interacting across the bar, heckling each other and that type of stuff. So there's a lot of good banter there. And that's one thing we tried to do. We wanted a cool, inviting bar where people kind of come out and hang out and drink and maybe have an appetizer they wanted. But we also have the dining room area where if you want to come with the family.
Two parts.
Yeah. If you want to come with the family, grab a slice of pizza, you know, with the family or whatnot, or you got a group, an outing, whatnot, you can provide that as well. So, and it's kind of interesting how it transitions over to the night. You know, we have a full dining room, and then it just slowly starts migrating until the end of the night. There's just those few that are sitting hanging out at the bar.
And then you got Tim
hanging
out at
the
bar
pretty much,
at the end of that, right?
Yeah, and it's been great having them as neighbors as well. You know, we worked really well together. He's been very welcoming on our end, and it's been very synergistic. And, we're excited about him getting his beer license as well. I think it's – great to have another spot in the area that, you know, people come to Berkeley and hang out, you know, and we offer different things and that's what we want, you know, so.
So we're there as your, so pizza, competitive marketplace, lots of different tiers to pizza, right?
Hell yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know. All of which you understand and know all of that, right? As a consumer, I feel like I have a handle of the different tiers and what sets you apart from other players. I guess give me your sales pitch to that, right? So like what sets Green Lantern Pizza apart from say other, I don't know, should I say it always a sit down, right?
Well, I would just say pizza in general, you know. I mean, yeah, we do have two ends of our business. We have our sit down dine in restaurants and then we do also offer the carry out delivery. But when you look at it, you'd probably be surprised to know that Detroit is the number one pizza market in the country ahead of New York and Chicago.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, I was actually shocked when I heard that because you hear New York and Chicago. But if you think about it, the Domino's, Hungry Howie's, Jets, everyone comes out of here.
They're all from here. I used to sell print advertising for Velasis. And so I used to call on all the pizza players because all those guys were clients of them. That's probably the first time I really understood that. It like I'm like, oh, that's right. We have like major accounts here in Detroit. I used to call on Jets and Happy's. That was part of the clients I had. Yep. But Hunger Howie's was a client. Pizza O was a client. Little Caesars obviously was a client, right? And Domino's. I mean, you break that down. So
those are the national chains.
And that's just big names.
Yeah,
right?
we have some.
Then you got these
family
awesome pockets, like yourself,
Buddies, and ourselves, and other family chains that are more local.
So do you lump yourself in then, kind of with the Buddies and Shields of the world, or
I guess. I mean, we definitely consider ourselves a higher end pizza. I mean, pizza's like anything. I mean, it's pretty simple, but it's all about those components, right? So it's kind of like your Mazda Miata and your Range Rover. Those are still same cars, but it's all about those components are in it. So we use top ingredients, and we make everything in house. So we're making this cheese, grinding the cheese, making the sauce, dough daily. We're slicing our pepperoni that nobody can get. So those are the things that we've stayed true to, that we don't change. And it is challenging when you want to scale, because most other businesses that we're competing with that are scaling are getting all those store bought items and already, pre-prepped, so it cuts down on your labor and your cost. But
sure. So those are decisions you have to make as an owner.
Well,
operator.
Not really. It's a really easy decision. We're not going to screw with it.
So you just
say it's been around for 60 years.
So you say this is what works.
Yeah.
We're not changing.
No, I mean, we'd be dumb right now to do that. You know, people try to sell me on new products all the time, and I tell them even if it was better, I wouldn't change. You know, it would be kind of asinine to do that.
You definitely should not change the pepperoni.
Yeah, that's
So it's an exclusive exclusive operator?
Well, I wouldn't say that. It's a natural casing versus most people use synthetic casing pre-cut. And so it's really labor-intensive to slice that much pepperoni that we need for all our stores. So people just don't do it. And it's an expensive pepperoni.
Okay.
So if you're going to try to increase your profit margins, first thing you're going to do is cut down on some of your top ingredients, and one of which is your meat products and whatnot, like pepperoni.
Right.
But we're hold true on that. You know what I mean? So that's what we call ourselves, the king of pepperoni, just specifically for that. So those are the kind of things that I think differentiates ourselves. And the fact that, you know, going back to being the number one pizza market in the country, that we've been around for 65 years, and how many times have we seen those mom and pop places open up, shutter the next month or 2 years or whatnot. So, you know, we've been competing in this game for a while and been successful at it, and always still, you know, rated as one of the top pizzas in the area, you know, so.
It's always on those lists. Like, you could make a whole website just about that part of your business. You know what I'm saying? The awards you win.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what pulled it to me from my friends. He's like, oh, just this is the best place. I'm like, who are you talking about? Like, I didn't live by one of your locations before. I went to your Royal Oak one with my buddy who lived right around the corner. And I was just like, oh, I'm kind of getting it now.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, I grew up here. I grew up going to every pizza place we just mentioned.
Yeah.
You know? So some of it has to do with where you live and what you got used to over there, and then that. And then I lived in Chicago for a while, and I'm not a deep dish guy.
Yeah.
So I'm not throwing myself to that. I couldn't get used to that. I'm not a New York style guy either, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not totally thin. I'm Detroit, really.
Yeah.
From that respect, I think people here, that's the thing, you know. And when you do it right, you stick it that you stay that way.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But you guys do more than pizza. So you have other things on the menu. You got sandwiches, you got burgers, you got salads.
Yeah, yes.
So did you pretty much take the menu from Madison Heights and kind of implement that in Berkeley, or were there other changes that you considered because it was over in Berkeley?
A little bit of both. So our Madison Heights location is extremely small. We don't actually cook everything out of a pizza oven, so we only have sandwiches and pizza because, again, that's that shot in a beer bar that kind of took off.
You know, I've only done to-go pizza there, so I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It only seats 100 folks, so it gets filled up quick. But a lot of people still love it because that's the original, right? Our second restaurant was at 15 and Hayes, right in Clinton Township. And so that offered us an opportunity to have a bigger kitchen. So we started experimenting with more menu items there. And that was about 4 years ago. And so when we came to open Berkeley, we already had some experience with some other menu items. So we just incorporated those ones that were working out there and brought them over as well. So we also offer a square pizza, which you can't get at our Madison Heights original location.
Okay.
Again, because of size constraints. And but that's where the other part of our menus come from. We played with it a little bit at our other location before bringing it over. So,
is Square becoming, I don't know, I mean, more popular?
Yeah.
Would you say?
I think so. I mean, that's kind of what everyone you know, thinks about when you say Detroit pizza. Detroit style pizza is really right. The square. It's kind
of. I'll admit, I never used that term growing up here, though.
Yeah.
That's a more, I don't want to say it's a more recent term because the pizza's been there. I just never said that.
Yeah, but you know, if you're from a place, you're not going to be like, I'm in New York. I like New York style pizza.
Yeah,
you're just going to get
good,
pizza.
You know what, Tim? That's a good point.
You buy pizza. You buy a square pizza, you're not going to say it's Detroit style. It's the other people around who are like, hey, I want a Detroit style pizza.
That's
as opposed
point.
To, for you, it's just freaking pizza.
It's just what I eat.
Yeah. When you go to the National Pizza Convention, there's actually a guy there teaching everybody how to make Detroit style pizza. So that's the thing that's marketed. There's a guy that actually goes out there and markets. And I think that's part of the thing that's helped actually bring brand awareness is there's one person, individual that is kind of marketing Detroit style pizza out there. But
It's funny. Yeah. With my bus tours where I take people to breweries, I'll typically have a brewery that I bring food into. So I'll usually have pizza delivered. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's Jets because there's just a lot of locations. And I also want that Detroit style pizza because everyone likes that.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I was doing a tour and this guy's like, I'm kind of bummed because you didn't have a Detroit food item. I'm like, well, I served you Jets pizza, which is founded in Sterling Heights and it's Detroit style pizza. So I go, what more for pizza could I do? And then he kind of looked at me like, well, clearly you don't know what you're talking about, you know what I'm saying? And we all kind of laughed about it. I tried to say it in a way like I wasn't like, dude, you don't know what's up, but I basically still answered it like, dude, you don't know what's up.
I have a pretty funny story I want to interject here. At our 12 Mile and John R, we have a large national chain who may or may not have a distribution center in Madison Heights locally, and they may be well known for their flavored crust.
Still confused.
I don't even get it. Right. or have a location down the road from your Berkeley location.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, we didn't say that. All right, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
We love everybody. So, don't send us bad messages.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So these two gentlemen walk in and they had about a $300 food item for lunch, you know, carry out. And lo and behold, they got the logo on their shirts. And I'm like, you're taking this back to your distribution center, huh? And they're like, we love your pizza. And I'm like, can I have a picture of this, please?
Oh, that's,
you know,
so
can I put this
awesome
on? And they're like, no.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not. I could. Yeah,
yeah, the guy, the one guy
I bought
said,
a coupon,
you know,
for a free pizza, and then I'm gonna put this on Instagram
exactly
right now because that's dope.
So,
right?
So just having that, just him saying we love your pizza while he's sitting there wearing his polo shirt with the logo of a national
that's
chain.
Like a commercial.
Yeah, that right there was like, okay, you know,
that's super funny.
Yeah.
Last year I was doing a private tour for people tied to Illich, but it was out of like Greektown Casino, and the lady organizing it that was like in their top office, I'm like, yeah, we're gonna go to these three breweries and I'll bring pizza into this one brewery. She's like, whoa, what's the pizza? You know, I'm like, I normally just deliver in Jets to it because it's in Corktown. I just only have certain options over there. And she's like, yeah, we can't do that. And I'm like, because you work for them, you can't do that? I don't understand. So, and she, really a big point about it. So anyway, you know, we ended up getting pizza from a place that just made it there, which was Atwater Brewery, which isn't known for pizza and it wasn't good, right?
Yeah.
So instead, you know, so that's what they do, right? But lo and behold, the people that were on the tour were actually like Red Wings season ticket holders. They weren't even like employees of them, but the organizer lady worked for them, right? So I thought, that's so funny, you know, like whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
And well, like, you know, she's doing her job. That's
I'm sure that's the mantra that's just like right banged into her head. It's like I used to sell Kleenex facial tissue, and you always had to have one in your car in the back windshield area to show people that they should always use Kleenex, right?
So that's basically a marketing person.
It
so
is.
They really
it is totally
kind of,
that, right? Because yeah, that's
to,
totally what her
they have
job
to drink
is
the Kool-Aid.
You
across
totally
the
have
board
to drink the Kool-Aid.
That's
don't
her
you
job, so that's cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Like if we put a Kool-Aid flavor to your hair, what would it be?
Oh, it's blueberry.
It's blueberry?
Blueberry. Which is a cereal flavor you can't always get, but still, it's blueberry.
Okay. That's real helpful. I'm going to put that in the show notes later.
Not the first time someone has asked.
Not the first
time? That's why I had an answer right there.
Oh, you did have a really fast answer.
I think you need
to
get that trademarked probably, right?
No doubt.
I'm going to assume that the cereal has it trademarked.
That's probably accurate.
It doesn't sound like a mistake Kellogg's would make or whoever.
Right. Probably not.
No.
Right? Yeah.
I'm guessing.
So let's talk a little bit about the retail part. So when you opened, the first part you opened was the retail, and that was your smaller location head down the road, and you always had some space for games in there to play, correct?
So we were originally basically across from like Patrick J's and the gym that's down there in a location that's about a third of our current location.
Right.
So it's half,
size difference.
Half that space was still, you know, places where people could come play. The other half was retail. It just is so much smaller that it's hard to, you know, when you go into the new one and compare it, you're just like, weesh.
Yeah, wow.
It was kind of just like a small, creepy back room.
Okay.
The current location has just tripled in size, and our play location has more than tripled. We've kept the retail area to the corner of the new store. Two-thirds of our current square footage is all, in one way or another, places where people can go play, whether it's in the bar area.
So you walk in.
Hopefully soon bar area.
Yeah, so you walk in. You got the retail location. You walk through that. You got the bar lounge area kind of in the middle,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then more space people can play games at in the back space. But there's tons of space all in there. I mean, it's impressive. I was impressed when I went in. I was like, wow, this is way more than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. So when you hear me talk about where tournaments are, that's a whole separate, its own area as opposed to where, hey, we're having our friendly games or where people are coming in to learn how to play. That's the smaller, a little more personal area. It's actually, we're kind of doing it like your mom's basement.
Sure.
You know, we have bookshelves along the side and a TV in a corner with some couches around it. And that kind of thing, because it kind of fits with at least where I started, you know, in my mom's basement. It's kind of a trope now that's recognized, especially with Stranger Things coming out. You know, talk about when D&D was big in the – or started – I shouldn't say big, but started in the 70s. Then there's the whole professional – we're playing tournaments over there, and that's all entirely separate. The last space that we were in, which was a great space, it was in the heart of what now is Berkeley. We had, you know, 1900 square feet, you know, now we're at 6,400 square feet, little bit size difference. We're actually glad to be where we're at. Cause we're hoping that to bring the, and make the downtown area of Berkeley, the official downtown area of Berkeley includes us and Green Lantern, but we're hoping to get that whole concept, not just that little tiny area around where Coolidge hits, but you know, all the way from Greenfield down. Berkeley, of course, is very excited about that, and we're, you know, and they're.
I mean, that's what Berkeley wants.
And then that, yeah, and that's what they want.
That's why they're excited for both you guys to open. It's the draw.
Yeah, they
people
were,
coming
yeah.
into space where that wasn't the case anymore.
Yeah,
or not as much, at least.
Correct.
Right. I mean,
refreshing
most of
it, so to speak.
Most of what's around us is not what you'd call typical downtown areas. There's nothing wrong. It's just it's not very visible.
Sure.
And so the city's been very helpful for getting us open, getting us to the point where we need to be. And hopefully as we move into the future, all of us can see about extending between where my store is and where we used to be.
Sure.
And turning that more into a traditional downtown area.
I think we need 6 more salons in between that space.
Well, honestly. If you're going to go by Royal Oak, the north area of Royal Oak, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Okay, you know, 6 more salons. And,
I was just walking by there yesterday on my way to meeting some friends at Bar Louis, but I was parking on Lafayette Street and I was crossing over by Washington and it was just like, salon, 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 salon. Right. And then those buildings that switched over recently put in more salons. And I'm just like, holy cow, how's that possible? You know, but my wife has someone in there she goes to now that moved from one of the spots in Berkeley actually to over there, which I thought was kind of funny. But it's just like, wow. I never added up how many we have in Berkeley. And to anyone who's a salon owner in Berkeley, we're excited you're here. And this isn't some show
yeah,
against
no,
you.
We're not trying to be against
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we're not. We're just – I'm always amazed. And maybe because it's 3 guys in a studio in Royal Oak, right? That we're having that conversation because we're not necessarily going to salons
well,
to do anything.
Tim, I don't know.
Maybe, this, yeah, right? Maybe he's got his hair person there.
I do actually go to a salon.
That's a good point, Pete. Very astute of you.
I do actually go to a salon to get my hair done.
Oh.
So I'm going to throw a shout out to her. She's in Royal Oak, even though it's about Berkeley. I understand. But
that's
Royal
right.
Oak, she does bleach. It's Nicole Barmerito. She's excellent.
Okay.
But yeah, no, actually, I can't do this. I'm not in any way talented.
Well, you are a business owner, so you do have certain talents. You did get that open.
It's a level of taking abuse.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Writing checks and taking abuse is, insofar as my very limited business experience is take abuse and write checks. So,
okay.
Any of you thinking about opening businesses, you should do that in Berkeley. It's very easy to write checks and take abuse.
there. Maybe that's – I don't want that to be the title of the show. We'll come up with the title of the show. I don't think I want that to be. I wanted like pizza and games to be the title of the show. But I get it, right? Because I'm a small business owner, and at this time of year, my business is a little slower before it gets a little nicer and people want to run events and be outside again and stuff. And I always feel like all I'm doing is spending money this time of year for like stuff that's going to happen down the road. And Pete, I guess you probably felt like that for a while because it was a longer construction period and you're putting money into things. And once you open and money actually starts coming in, it must have felt like quite a relief.
Yeah, it definitely did. I mean, after 2 years of giving it out and not having anything come in, it was. But to be honest with you, we were so busy that, you know, you were just kind of in knee deep of trying to open up and maintain this restaurant you just opened. It really doesn't hit you until and we're still not quite all the way there. We're realizing, you know, business has been great so far. But yeah, it's a transition when you're going constantly shelling it out, and then you're not really sure what the return's going to be, right? You have no idea. You're thinking people
that's
are
the
down,
little.
You
that's know? The fear might come in, and, like in the middle of the night when you wake up. Oh shit, what's going on? Or, I mean, I didn't swear. That was some other word.
Yeah,
and, that was. That's what I mean by writing checks. You're writing checks out in the wind. You don't know now.
Yeah.
You know, you get to the point where the money's coming back in. It's okay. You're writing. People deserve. You know what you're paying
eventually
them for,
you, just,
but...
you get over that, and life moves on, and then everything's positive, and that's what you know. I hope those things for you in that respect.
Yeah, but I also think at the other end of it, we just hired close to 75 new employees, part time and full time.
Amazing.
A lot of them are tip dependent, so you know you're hoping that they can have a good good living, and
you want them to have a good living,
exactly,
so they stay there
100%
and become great employees.
Exactly. And so that's the other kind of caveat to that about the business, is that not just for you personally, but for your employees as well. So they can bring the bacon home. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I get it. Right?
Which, by the way, his habanero bacon is excellent.
Oh, there we go. Another good plug for your habanero bacon.
See, I didn't even need to be on the show. I could just had Tim. You could talk about Green Lantern.
It's really sad.
I could have taken
Beers, right?
I got to focus on my business more. But I'm like, oh, he's got really good beer.
You're
he's
doing a great
really
job, Tim. Keep it up.
I could have taken your hat, Pete, and I could have put it on the microphone there with the nice logo on it.
Actually, I'm just going to leave right now. Is that all right? If I just we don't up, want, just have Tim.
We don't want that at all. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're both here.
Again, it's really great that we get along.
Yes.
You know, all joking aside, I think it's great that we get along. We present a united front to try to get the city's attention. The city listens to us. They decided we should be together. They're not wrong. You know, so we bring attention down to that area together. It could have gone so many other ways with not getting along and things like that, that I think that I'm actually really proud that we get along.
Well, when we were coming up with the schedule, we were hoping you would get along because it would have made the podcast kind of weird.
It'd be an hour of me going, I don't want your people parking.
Exactly.
Like, Tim, why are you looking at him so – like you want to beat him up? You know, like I don't want that.
No, actually, and Tim, we had not even met yet. He came down to the ZBA meeting, Zoning Board of Appeals, when we were trying to get that patio.
Yeah, please tell me what that means. Okay.
So we were trying to get approval for our patio seating, and we had never met Tim, didn't even know who Tim was, and he came in. He was the first person that spoke on our behalf. And he sat out there and said, hey, you know, I don't know these gentlemen. I think their business is going to be great for Berkeley. You should approve it. Their patio will bring a vibrant downtown area, which we're all looking for. I'm a business owner next door, so... So for him to stand up and, you know, speak on our behalf.
He didn't have to do that.
And we had not even met him, So instantly right then, I'm like, all right, this is a good guy right here. So
little did you know that he's a bar fly and he wants to drink a lot.
Yeah, unrelated note, I'd like beer and pizza.
All good things.
Completely not related.
It always goes back to beer and pizza, you know?
It sure does, doesn't it?
Yeah, which is fine by me.
So. Which is why you don't change your recipes, because it already works. You shouldn't be doing that.
No.
Nope. Right?
Exactly.
So let's see here. So let's talk about the community in general and giving back to the community and things. Let's start with you, Pete, and with Green Lantern having such a big history in the community. What are some things they've done at other locations that maybe you'll do here that kind of support the community that you're now in? So now you're part of Berkeley. People are excited. They're coming in. There's lots of things you'll probably get inundated with charity-wise.
Yeah.
Like, do you have things you typically have done in other locations that you want to bring those practices over here?
We typically do a lot for the schools. Schools are always coming in and asking us for either donations or gift cards. Okay. And we started doing that with the Berkeley community before we actually opened our doors, you know. The Taste of Berkeley is coming up here shortly it's a charitable event for youth. So we're going to be donating some food for that. Actually, prior to us being open too, we fed all the police officers that police the parade route for Dream Cruise.
Oh, wow.
We always take care of our boys in blue. You know, they don't get enough credit for how hard they work and what they have to put themselves through. So
especially during the Dream Cruise.
Exactly. For all the headaches they have to put themselves through or whatnot. So we always try to do our best so anything related to the police. A lot of times for the fraternal order, police will ask us, you know, to put ads in, and anything related to schools and police, we usually are.
Oh, that's great. Doors.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. My, previous guests, the owners of Fenton Winery and Brewery, I kind of asked that same question, and they were saying how once a month they also make pizza at their location, and they were saying once a month how they do like a pizza party for a nonprofit where they try to pick some smaller nonprofits maybe that don't always get enough attention, and then the nonprofit is their job task is to get people in there that night. And they said that's been real successful for them. It's been an easy way. It kind of fits within their system. So like you giving these groups food, that fits within your system of helping the community, which is important from a process perspective, right? Yeah. It's not necessarily out of your wheelhouse to do that. You don't have to do that, but it's a great thing that you do it.
Yeah. I mean, I always say that we're in the people business, not the pizza business.
Very true.
Whether it's our employees that are making the food, our employees that are serving it, or the people that come into our restaurant, or the people that in the community that we are located at, you know, I feel like if that's kind of what we set for first, everything else takes care of itself. So that's the way we go about our business.
I would agree. That's a good way to approach it. Tim, do you get approached a lot from charitable groups? Is that something that happens with a business like yours?
I imagine that it happens with most of the businesses. We're proud to support the local FOP is one of the biggest things that we do is both the library. There was a swim team that we supported here at the local school. In fact, we met one of my attorneys, his daughter is on the swim team. And so we support them. And by meeting him through coming into the store, that's how I have him. So when my wife and I were looking at like which community we were really going to try to be in, I mean, cost is always a factor, but we really liked that Berkeley was, you know, a kind of still in the middle of between Royal Oak, Birmingham, and the rest, still kind of a small town. I mean, people have kids there and they're walking their children around and dogs and that kind of thing. So we chose Berkeley kind of on purpose, hoping that that would be to our advantage, shamelessly. And it has been. With the level of the age groups of the families and people, and their kids are growing up and starting to play games now, it's been very much to our advantage. You know, case in point, the swim team, attorney, we meet people coming in, you're in Berkeley. Now, I knew you from Ed's place, but still, you know.
River Rouge Brewing Company on 4th Street. You should all go there as well.
And yes, you should all go there. Shamelessly plug every
friend. No doubt, right?
You won't regret it. It's good beer. We knew.
Right? I agree.
Absolutely. We knew going in, I shouldn't say knew. We hoped going in that kind of community would help. One of the things that I really want to plug right now is the Berkeley Robotics team. We support them every year, through the local school, and it's actually really joy. This last year, it pleases me to no end, because for my entire life, you know, when I was growing up, gaming and the kind of some of the gaming that we do there was obviously male dominated. When they came in to collect, you know, their donation, because they come every year, I tell them to come every year, and I support them very much. They were all girls.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah. It was five or six girls with the teacher. And I was like, this is amazing. And that's great. Don't get me wrong. Very great. It's just amazing to see that that prejudice that has been from back when I was young is gone. We support them. I love community. Honestly, the Berkeley Chamber has been really good. Here we are talking on the, you know, having a podcast, and the Berkeley City was very helpful in getting us open because, as I pointed out earlier, I had never done this. Everything I do is literally the first time I've ever done it. And Berkeley was, excuse me, very helpful as a city, whereas I actually own a house in Royal Oak, and it could go worse.
Sure.
So they were very helpful, which I'm eternally grateful for, because this could have been so much worse without the city's help.
Is this the first time you had your hair in this color too?
Blue? No, not blue. Come on. You've known me for years. I've had blue before. You have to have seen it blue before.
I know I've seen it blue. Yeah, I'm just kind of messing with you. That's a great story, though. I love hearing the passion you have about coming into Berkeley. I'll admit, that's why my wife and I moved into Berkeley. We were looking for that feel, and that's why I joined the chamber, because I was interested in getting to hear the stories of local businesses and getting to know folks and then collaborating with folks. That's my hope. Right. I'd love to do a pizza and beer event and like talk about both of your businesses in that way and expose different people to it that maybe weren't as familiar with Green Lantern or weren't as familiar with Gatekeeper Games or vice versa. Right. I think that's great. I want to thank both you guys for coming on today, Tim and Pete. This has been another great episode of Berkeley Local.
Come check us out. We're on the West End.
And you're on the East End? Wait,
East
how am I
end.
Supposed
no, we're
to say?
On the West End.
No, you're getting me all turned around now, as I was going to say.
We're on the West End.
And if people want to get more information about Gatekeeper Games, where should they go, Tim, as you're taking a drink of that?
Gatekeepergames.com, or even better, just come into the store.
Just come into the store. And if people want to get more information about Green Lantern Pizza, what should they do, Pete?
Our website's greenlanternpizza.com.
Isn't that simple? Obviously, these guys are on all the social channels, and you can do that. If you want to get more information about Berkeley Local, you can go to the berkeleychamber.com website. You can listen to this show, since you're already doing it, if you're hearing my voice. We're on all the social platforms. I want to thank the Berkeley Downtown Development Authority, the DDA, for sponsoring the show, and the Berkeley Chamber for allowing me to bring in these two great guests today.
Thank you, Tim,
and thank you, Pete.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Have a nice day.